name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
A smart man learns from his own mistakes. A stupid man never learns, but a wise man learns from mistakes of others and avoids them altogether. The scriptures are full of very difficult passages, but also very useful and easy to understand passages. And the difficult passages become easier to understand the more we apply ourselves to them. As St. John Chrysostom said, this is the cause of all evils, the ignorance of scriptures. We don't know the scriptures, and so therefore we suffer so many things in this life needlessly because we don't have the wisdom that is found in the scriptures. And there's a whole category of scriptures in the Old Testament that are called wisdom books. And you have a rough analogy to that in the epistles in the New Testament. But the wisdom books of the Old Testament are full of sayings, proverbs. And as a matter of fact, we have a book called Proverbs, but there are other books as well. Particularly in the Orthodox Bible, we have some additional books, the book Ecclesiasticus, sometimes called the Wisdom of Sirach, and the Wisdom of Solomon. Those are also very useful books. The book of Proverbs, the first four chapters, talk about the importance of wisdom. And it's the father writing to his son. He's passing on the wisdom that he received from his father and his mother, he says, to his son. But the very first section where he actually began to talk about practical wisdom, you know, not just the theoretical wisdom, but how do you live this stuff out in real life, he talks about how a young man should interact with the opposite sex. And this is an area of wisdom that we could use more today than ever. As I've mentioned many times, in my secular job, I work with the Attorney General Child Support Division, and I see the results of foolishness. And unfortunately, I very often have people who, after they've made all their mistakes, will acknowledge how dumb it was for them to put themselves in the position that they were, but they didn't know better, they didn't think about it, they didn't have someone to guide them and to point out what would be wise and what would be the results of doing all of these things that got them into all kinds of trouble. But one thing we have nowadays is it's even worse than it's probably been throughout most of human history. One of the Desert Fathers was commenting on the natural modesty and inclination to righteousness that women had, and he made the statement that when the day comes that women lose that, then it will be very difficult for anyone to be saved. And unfortunately, I think we've seen that begin to be fulfilled in our time, where even women have, in all too many cases, no sense of modesty, no concern about purity. And they're certainly not going to get any help from the guys, but it was always that the guys got some help from the girls if they were hanging around with the right ones. But unfortunately, in too many cases, they're not getting that help in either direction. So in chapter 5, he says this: "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ears to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." Now keep in mind, he's writing to a son, and so there's obviously advice that could go to the opposite gender, but also keep in mind that at this time there wouldn't have been nearly as much that would have been needed to have been said to a woman, because the results of sexual immorality were so immediate by having illegitimate children that you didn't have to impress upon women to the same extent that the importance of maintaining sexual purity. And what the fathers comment about this is, he says, the fathers say that the immoral woman, you know, who's alluring this man, it begins sweet but it ends bitter. But he says that the way of righteousness is just the opposite. It begins bitter but it ends sweet. It's hard at the beginning. It's hard to do what's right. It's hard to say no when you're faced with an immediate temptation. But in the long run, it's sweet. In the long run, it gets easier, and you get to enjoy the fruits of your wise decisions when you make the right decisions. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her ways of her life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near to the door of her house. Lest you give your honor to others, and your years to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. I can't tell you how many guys I've talked to that didn't use those exact words, but that's essentially what they were saying, is, man, I really screwed up. Unfortunately, when you're a young man, nowadays, there are guys that will father multiple children with multiple women before they turn the age of 18. And it's only when they turn 18 and the law begins to take full effect and we begin to go after them that they begin to realize what a mistake they've made. One time I was in court with a young man, and he was in court because he was being found in contempt of court. And he was probably about 19 years old. And he came in there thinking he had a perfectly good defense and that the judge would surely understand why he hadn't been paying his child support. He said, I'm going to college. I'm trying to better myself. So obviously I can't pay my child support and go to college at the same time. But the unfortunate truth that I had to tell him was, you know what, before you fathered a child, you were free to do whatever you wanted with your life. You could have pursued any career. You could have gone to college, you could have joined the circus, you could have become a hippie, you could have done whatever you wanted to do. But when you have a child, you suddenly have a lot of responsibility, and you don't get to do whatever you want to do. You have to take care of that child first, and then whatever you're able to do after that, then you can do it. And I can't tell you how many men I've seen who, they're working, they're paying their child support, they're supporting children, but they don't get to see them. Because maybe the mother has moved away, maybe the mother doesn't allow them to see them, maybe they don't even know where the mother's at. But they, the checks know how to get to the mother, but they aren't able to exercise any visitation. They don't want to see their children. And their money is literally going into the house of strangers, and it's going to support, in many cases, the mother's new boyfriend who's not working, and it eats them up, and it very often makes them bitter. And unfortunately, at that point, God can reach you wherever you're at. God can take however big of a mess of a lot you've made in your life, and he can begin to restore it, but he doesn't take away all the consequences. He can't undo all the mess that you make in this life. He can begin to restore it, but it doesn't just all go away. He goes on to say, drink water from your own cistern, and running water from your own well. Well, a cistern is like a dry well that collects rainwater, and a well, of course, could be either that or a spring. And when he says, drink water from your own cistern, stick to your own wife. Because that's, you want to talk about safe sex? That's safe sex. Safe sex is when you marry somebody and you remain committed to them for the rest of your life, and then there's no bad results that will come from that. If you're both living a committed life, you'll have children that would be, you'll be blessed by God, and all things being equal, at the end of your life, you'll be a very happy person. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of waters in the streets, and there he's talking about you father illegitimate children, it's like you're pouring water out into the street. Let them be only your own, not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, again talking about your lawful spouse, and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. Sex is God's idea. This is not something that the devil made up. This is not something for only dirty movies. There's a good, a wholesome, and a pure reality to marital love. But that's where it needs to be. Just like fire, when you keep it in your fireplace, when you keep it in your oven, when you keep it inside your car and it's lighting the fuel so that you're able to get down the road, that's a wonderful thing. But let it get out of control and all of a sudden it's really a bad thing. When you see your house burning down, all of a sudden fire is not so good. But fire in its proper place, we couldn't live without it. Or why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced by the arms of a seductress? For the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord. He ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for a lack of instruction, and the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. It's true that God punishes the wicked. He punishes the wicked in the next life, to be sure. But God punishes the wicked in this life. But for the most part, the punishment that God gives us in this life is to allow us to do the things that we want to do and to suffer the consequences. That's what St. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, where it talks about how God gave them up, those that rejected God, to a debased life. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. God is punishing you. We talked about this in Sunday school. If God is disciplining you, this is a great thing because that shows that God has not given up on you. He loves you. And he's trying to make you a better person. But when God leaves you to your own, that's because you've gotten so far away from him that he's just going to let you suffer the consequences. And only when you repent will that relationship change. There's a similar proverb that you find in the book of Ecclesiasticus, or the Wisdom of Sirach, chapter 9, verse 9. That's also important. It says, never dine with another man's wife, or revel with her at wine, or your heart may turn aside to her, and in blood you may go down to destruction. Don't be too familiar with a woman that's not your wife, and of course the reverse is true. If you're a woman, don't be too familiar with a man that's not your husband. Don't put yourself in a situation where you're liable to be tempted. And this is one of the things that young people especially are prone to do. They're prone to think, well, I don't need to listen to what my parents have to say. I don't need to listen to what the priest said on Sunday. It's going to be different for me. You know, my boyfriend or my girlfriend is different for us than it is for everybody else. And when people say, you're making a mistake, oh, well, they don't know what they're talking about. And it's only when you begin to suffer the consequences that you begin to realize, you know what, I guess I should have listened to those people. And again, that gets back to what I opened with. If you're a smart person, you learn from your mistakes. If you're a dumb person, you never learn. But if you're a wise person, you learn from the mistakes of other people. And you don't make those mistakes. You don't have to suffer those consequences because there's so much pain and misery that you can avoid by simply listening to the wisdom of those that have gone before you. And the wisdom that's found in the scriptures is the collected wisdom of thousands of years of faithful people who were inspired by God to write and to record what they record. In chapter 8 of Proverbs, he says this about wisdom. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. In other words, she's like someone standing on the street corner trying to get your attention. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her.